On today's episode, we're going to talk about how to maintain and build relationships, failure, and donuts.
Let's go!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Blind Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Jonathan Krasbowski, and today I have with me Nathan Raphael. He's a serial entrepreneur, and you may recognize him from a recent Chevy commercial. Today, currently, he is working on a new startup called Bout Dad Life with his best friend, Travis. This guy right here, at 18, Universal Music Group offered him a record deal. By the time he graduated high school, he was doubling as a record label and got a P&D split with Universal Music Group for the whole label. At 23 years of age, with no college degree, he was covering $14,000 a month of overhead and a baby on the way. We're going to talk about that and a whole bunch of other stuff, especially about failure. But before we do, Nathan, I have to ask you a very serious question. So imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. What is that one place that you're going, and what is that one piece of food that you're ordering?
Oh, I'm going to get donuts and coffee with my girlfriend in the morning, hands down. I mean, that's like donuts are life.
Nice. What kind of donut are we thinking of? Are we going for? Are we doing like something?
That's like asking me to pick a favorite kid. You know, you can't do it. You know, like there's no. I mean, just donuts are life. You know, like that's all.
I'll be honest. I usually don't eat a lot of sweets, but I did have a donut today, so I feel like the day is now coming like full circle for me. Knowing that.
I lured you in without even knowing it.
Yeah, we totally agree. But Nathan, without further ado, the first real question, man, is tell us about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
So I'm Nathan Raphael. I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana. I'm a dad, son, brother, cousin, boyfriend, and I like to think generally decent guy. I've also been a serial entrepreneur, working for myself since about 2006 on paper, since 2003 off paper, and that, most of all, I'm a human.
Very, very real way to introduce yourself, because a lot of people, they don't recognize that. You know, they have this interpersonal relationship and connection with entrepreneurship, but don't recognize that they are human after all.
When the lights go off, you're still who you are. That's what a lot of people forget.
Yeah, so let's talk about your entrepreneurship journey. You've been a serial entrepreneur. What are some of the things that you've worked on in the past that have led you to where you are today?
Everything. I started out in the music and the entertainment space in 2005, 2006. After that, I did service. I cleaned houses for a while. I started a gluten-free vegan bakery with my now ex-wife, and then that became an e-commerce venture, and since then I've been a part of a couple more of those, and here I am now. I'm in Chevy commercials and getting royalties and corporate coin, praise God.
Amen to that. Now you mentioned going vegan. Are you still vegan to this day?
No, I actually never went vegan. So my dad was a diabetic, and we just started making sugar-free muffins for him. And then sugar-free people told an egg-free person, who told a dairy-free person, who told a gluten-free person. And yeah, they asked me and my wife to make some dairy-free, sugar-free, egg-free, and gluten-free muffins. And we're like, yeah, sure. And we hung up the phone and we said, what the fuck is gluten? Right. We had no idea. And whenever we started making these allergen-friendly foods, people were just really grateful. We really saw that it helped people. People were busy. There were things that they didn't have time to make or just couldn't do for their kids because they didn't know how to make. And that doing the vegan food and all the allergen-friendly food was much more of a community service thing. It was something that my ex-wife and I saw was rewarding to prepare for people.
Yeah, so you've kind of been on this nomad track throughout your entire life. You said that 2003, you were you were an entrepreneur off paper. So, was that something that were you always entrepreneurial? Was there a light bulb that kind of went off? Or
no, I mean, whenever I was six, I sold I would fold legal paper into envelopes and sell them 3 for a nickel. In 2003, my first venture was I would make fake IDs with my friend Chris, and we would sell them, and then we would like use the fake IDs to buy alcohol from like gas stations wholesale, and then like resell it to Catholic school kids at a crazy markup. And yeah, I mean, and that was how it all started. You know, I think I've spent less than 4 months of my life on like a W-2 employed.
Wow. So was that something that you kind of had no choice of doing, or was this something that kind of pushed you? Was there something that pushed you to do this?
Not really. I mean, like my dad was like a teacher and an author, and my mom just like wrote copy for an ad agency. You know, I didn't really have entrepreneur role models or anything. I just always realized that there was something that I could do to generate like work and money for myself in a more satisfying manner than, you know, standing behind a cash register or something. I didn't want to do that with my time.
Totally. Yeah. And you mentioned off air, that your father was, a pretty well accomplished, author. And you also mentioned that writing is something that's really important to you. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I mean, we all sometimes we just don't want to do, you know, what our parents do, even if we're good at it, even if we have the same gifts in our DNA. And my dad published like 150 books in his life, and he was a hell of an author. And I've shied away from that. You know, it's kind of why I went into business and did something that he didn't do. But now I'm almost 30, and I'm circling back and realizing, you know, I'm actually a really fucking good writer, and I need to. Yeah, that's part of business, honestly, is learning to accept your strengths and your weaknesses. You know, and so it's kind of funny that, you know, some lessons I've learned in business have transferred back over for me on like a personal development level.
Mm. So what do you do in order to find yourself and figure out, you know, your strengths and weaknesses? I mean, I'm sure you said you're a little under almost 30 now.
Yeah.
When do you think that you really hit that stride of like, this is who I am?
I think really for me, it really started to happen after I got divorced and then my dad died. I had like a rough couple of years, and it, you know, it's very easy when you're in a relationship to kind of create your identity around that relationship. And also the business that I was in at the time was my identity for years, that relationship, that business, being my dad's son. And then whenever I didn't have those three kind of core things that had created my identity, I realized that, you know, like I said earlier, you know, all the lights were off and I was still me. You know, I was still a son, a brother, a dad, and I think that's how it happened for me. Was I had things that were very central to my identity removed, and that really allowed me to see who I was and who I wasn't.
Mm. And so that you mentioned you were a solid writer yourself. Writing is so important nowadays, because all of our content is through either, you know, social media and, you know, things going viral and seeing it on that. You know, why is writing your thing?
I think it's about having a voice. You know, like I have a daughter. I want to have a voice in the culture of the world that she grows up in. You know, and I think that. There are a lot of people who don't get to say things, and they don't get to speak about their experience and, you know, what's going on. And I really would like to, you know, to fill in some of those darker corners and shine some light, you know, where it isn't.
Mm.
You know, and I just like showing people different sides of humanity. And I feel that writing is a great vehicle to propel that.
Yeah. And what would you say is your writing style? Are you more so the, yeah, let's go there. What is your writing style? What do you usually write about?
I'd say it's kind of like a cross between investigative journalism and op-ed. You know, I really like to look into things on a deeper level, but yeah, everything is usually based in opinions. I feel that for whatever reason, I have some opinions that are just kind of contrary to, you know, popular culture and times. And I feel that there is some value in those simply because they offer a different perspective.
Yeah.
And so sharing those differences and communicating those, you know, in an articulate way is important.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you are very opinionated. And do you feel as if that's worked for you or against you? You know, voicing your opinion.
That's a good question, and I think it has a lot to do with time. Whenever I was younger, and I didn't have as much like self-control, especially over like my emotions and how I project my energy, I think it worked against me a lot. And I think as I've gotten older and I've been more patient and learned how to be more concise, clear, and upfront, that it's worked in my favor.
Okay.
I mean, I think everything is a double-edged sword. You know, if you don't, even your greatest gifts, if you're not wielding them appropriately, then even your greatest gift, you know, can be an Achilles heel.
Sure. No, without a doubt. Something that I know is important to who you are has been the things that you've done and succeeded, but then ultimately, there's failure in there as well. A
Absolutely.
question that I'm curious to hear your answer for is like, what has been your biggest failure thus far, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, I think my biggest failure was whenever I was 18. It was the thing with Universal Music. That was definitely my biggest failure. It was largely I set up a you know, we had this record that was like playing around strip clubs in the Southeast, and that was how we were able to leverage it and get a situation. And I signed a contract without having an attorney read it. And that is definitely my single greatest failure. In my opinion, it was a bad contract. And I mean, if I would have literally just read through it all myself, I would have known not to sign it and to have some things changed. But I think not doing my due diligence that time, because I had to eat shit on like 17 grand I'd saved up, and I was like 18, and that was like all the fucking money I'd made from selling my bootleg liquor and all my hustles in high school, and I had to eat shit and just cut my losses. Because I signed a bunk contract and didn't do my due diligence. So I think definitely that's my biggest failure.
Yeah, and I guess like learning from that. I mean, there besides reading a contract, which is a great life lesson, but is there anything else that kind of stem from a life lesson that you've learned from another failure that you may have experienced?
Yeah, absolutely. Like recently I had a company called Sofa King. I mean, the company's doing okay. But like my role in it failed, and I think that was a result of I was working with someone who was a close friend, and sometimes we're blind to things, and there were red flags that I should have seen about I think stresses that I was placing on him that I thought were okay because we were friends, but things are different in business, and so I think I failed to accurately manage relationships with that. You have to, when you're working with people, like I said earlier, when the lights go off, you're still a human. And when you're working with people that you're close with or you care about, and there's money involved, you have to be really careful, because to me, the relationships are much more important. And I feel like this is one of the only times in business where I ever lost a friendship.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
so while it wasn't a giant monetary failure, I consider it a failure because I lost a friend over it.
Yeah, no, and that's interesting. I mean, what are your thoughts on going into business with friends?
I work with other friends, and it's amazing. It's a process I've tried over the years, and also whenever I was younger, I don't think I did it as successfully. And as we get older, like I was also saying earlier, we learn our strengths and weaknesses. And I feel like if you learn those about yourself, you also start to see them more clearly in your friends, and you know how to put them in the right roles where everybody can succeed, and that can be really fun. But you have to be careful with it. I mean, I would have to say, having lost a friend who was a dear friend since middle school over business, that I just don't think that's worth it. That's some shit money can't buy.
Well, that was actually my next question. Do you think when in business you're doing, is it more egocentric, or do you think it's more money centric?
That, like just business in general.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying about your experience, but just like business in general, like life, like do you find that like going into business, do you think that a lot of the stresses and a lot of the struggles and conversations, do you think it stems from money, or do you think it stems from ego?
I think it's a combination. I mean, it's kind of like, and it's like a chicken egg, or which one's gas, which one's fire. There, I don't think. I don't think that there's ever only one variable that goes into any decision that somebody makes. You know, and I mean, one of the most important ones that one of a dear mentor, John Matazin in the Bay Area, told me is that, you know, he always asks, how does person X get compensated? You know, and that's his number one factor in trying to, you know, figure out, you know, how someone ticks. And so, you know, money works, but, you know, people all have egos. I mean, I have one, you have one, we all do. And so, and, you know, money is something that taps into that ego on a very basic level, you know, especially in kind of this overhyped male culture where, you know, where we're all supposed to be breadwinners and making all this money and, you know, taking care of everybody. And it, so I think they feed into each other in kind of a deadly way. I think that's why you have to be very self-aware just to be in business in general. It's not sexy, like people say, you know, working for yourself where the buck stops with you, where the lights go off, you know, where there's no running water if you don't pay it, you know, where people, you know, don't have money to feed their families or pay their rent if you don't cut their checks on payroll day. You know, that is a lot scarier than I think a lot of people cut it out to be. People talk about the sexiness and the upside, but not the realities of it.
Sure. Yeah. And that's a great answer. You know, I'm really curious to hear more about who you are as a person. And so you've come along this journey through entrepreneurship, and then you stumble upon this like Chevy deal, where you're just like inside of a commercial. You know, I feel like, how has that been? And do you feel as if like that experience with Chevy, that kind of just like you were there, you stumbled across it, is that something that is natural? Does that happen a lot in your life where you're just like, you're at the right place at the right time?
Yeah. It always has been. I find that's largely because I run towards fear. Like if I have to make a decision and there's a couple of options, I'm probably going to pick the one that scares me the most, just because I've learned that that's usually the right one. And I'm a total homebody, but I've been very nomadic and I've traveled a lot, largely just to push myself outside of my comfort zone and allow the opportunity for those kind of things to transpire. You know, if you don't put yourself out there, then you can't ever be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. When it comes to like who you are and all the businesses that you've ran and such, are there any habits that have helped you become just more efficient throughout your day?
Effective delegation, honestly, has been the biggest one. Whenever I was younger, I tried to do everything myself. And, you know, I think that is like the hardest way to do anything, and it's the most inefficient way because no one's good at everything. And I think that the single biggest thing, you know, that's helped me has been smartening up like my strategic partnerships and you know, like the people I work with and what gets delegated to who.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. Extremely difficult. I mean, what are some techniques that you think that have helped you to delegate? Because I think that's one of the hardest things that you
spending,
can do.
Spending time with people. You have to know who somebody is. Mm-hmm. I mean, hands down, you have to spend time with somebody.
Yeah, in order to really
You can't just work with somebody. You know, and people say it's just business. It's not. The only time anyone ever says it's just business is right before or right after they fucked you. You know, because life isn't like that. Life is not just business. People are people. And if you want to learn, you know, how to make somebody efficient, then figure out what they're good at, what they care about, what they're, you know, because people work three times faster, three times harder, and three times more efficiently when they're doing something that has purpose to them. Mm. And you can't know what gives somebody purpose if you don't know them.
I'm hearing like a lot of emotional intelligence. Do you think that that was something that you've always had, or was this like a trained and learned thing that you've experienced throughout your experience?
I think it's a combination of nature and nurture. I mean, I'm a one trick pony, man. I don't have a college degree. You know, I haven't worked in like only one field or anything. And people and relationships is really all I have. You know, so I have to be good at it. And I've in my opinion, I've made a career out of just giving a shit. I found that the fact that I simply care about other people has been the most valuable thing I've added to anyone's life. I feel like a lot of people are really sorely missing someone who just intentionally gives a fuck about their life, even if it's for a 15-minute phone call once a month. Mm-hmm. Very true. You know, people don't give a shit about each other anymore, man. Everyone's so lost in this fucking mess, just running around like a chicken with their head cut off. You know, people don't have the bandwidth to care about each other, and it's sad.
Mm. I couldn't agree more. Is there something that has worked well? You said 15-minute conversations. To people who are listening, they're more they're entrepreneurial. They might be in this like grind of like 9 to 5 or 9 to 9, and they're just constantly doing their own thing every single day. I guess what has worked well for you to block that time out in order to make those phone calls, in order to give a shit to other people?
Working really, really hard, you know, from young. I started at 15 making money for myself. And so, you know, I was always able to kind of control my own schedule to a degree. And you do that by, like, when I was cleaning houses, you know, I was making sometimes 40 or 80 bucks an hour scrubbing shit out of toilets and, you know, washing people's dirty underwear. And, like, I don't, you know, and I worked my ass off. And then by the time I got to be about 25, when I had the bakery and that, like, a good crew and employees and things, I was able to really kind of like step away from it. And I didn't have a bunch of money or anything, but I had my time. And that was the result of, you know, just a lot of work. I mean, August 2013, me and my ex-wife worked like, I think, 11 all-nighters, you know, in 1 month, you know. And so, you know, and it was after that that we pulled ourselves out of a hole, and I was able to step into a different position. So, I mean, I would say, you know, like, you have to, if you want to free up your time to do the kind of shit that I do, you have to work your ass off. Yeah. You might like not sleep, you know, work 11 all nighters in 1 month.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's real. And so, you know, I guess like my last major question for you is, this podcast, the Blind Entrepreneur podcast, was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business and cannot see the obvious. They may be stuck in a particular headspace, a very dark hole.
You need contrast. If anytime you don't know what to do, contrast creates clarity. So whatever the fuck you're doing, do the exact opposite.
So that was my question. What are pieces of advice that you'd give to people that
create
are in that space?
Create contrast. Whatever you're doing, you need to do the opposite. You know, if you're stuck in one place, you need to just go somewhere for a day, a weekend. You have to, you know, like, you have to create a contrast to what's going on. Eat something different. You know, like you have to, you know, just don't. People, we're all creatures of habit. We have our comforts, our little routines, and if we don't step outside of those, then our perspective can get very, very cloudy.
That's great. That's great advice. So you're saying eat something different, take a different route that you're going.
Drive a different street home. Just do something different. Just create some contrast. If you go for a walk every day, walk a different route. You know, it's not complicated. It's just, you have to, if you don't do anything different, how are you going to see anything different?
That is some great advice, man. And it's short, it's direct, but it's powerful. Nathan, thank you so much for your time for this podcast. I do have one final question, which is, look directly, if you could, please look directly into the camera. Tell us a little bit about who you are. How can they be a part of your journey, and how can they be a part of your mission?
Okay, so you can find me on Facebook is my favorite way to keep in touch with people. It's basically like my CRM, because my job is people. So just Nathan Raffel, R-A-F-F-E-L, just on Facebook. On Instagram, it's n.raffel official. I'm also on LinkedIn. I do keep up with people on there. I have a Twitter, same as the Instagram. And that's me. I mean, I'm writing and connecting dots. I really like mentoring young entrepreneurs a lot. I went to the Forbes Under 30 thing last year, and I met a lot of really, really bright younger kids who just haven't had quite as much like real world experience. And lately, I've been reaching out to like a lot of them through, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn, and, you know, just kind of doing a little bit of mentoring. And so, you know, if there's anyone out there who's like younger, or older, if you're just younger in your business journey and you need some advice, you know, reach out. My email is nathanpraffel@gmail.com. I'm pretty responsive. So just let me know if you need some help.
Cool, man. Nathan, again, thank you so much for your time. For everybody else that is still listening, still watching, thank you guys for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Until next time, everyone, have a good rest of your day.
All right.
Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video.
And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.